Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming back to join us today on Mother's Day. So we wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I'm excited. I've got a mother friend next to me, Sonia Mercer.
Yes, hello.
How are you today?
I am great.
So here we are. We're coming to the end of Mother's Day. Did you have a good Mother's Day?
Fantastic Mother's Day.
I know. You know, it has to be good.
Absolutely has to be good.
But, you know, I just was just thinking, you know, there's so many things out there about Mother's Day that some, you know, that we may or may not know. And so I just thought we could do some Mother's Day trivia and just to see just how much we know as being a mother. I mean, I'm a mother of three. My kids are, let's see, one is... I don't even, in their 30s? Oh, so go ahead. So you're telling me my kids are 31?
Presley's 31, going to be 32 in October.
Okay.
Your twins are going to be 30 in June.
See, look, I'm not the numbers person. James is a numbers person, okay?
He keeps it straight.
Yeah. So I've been a mom for 31, almost 32 years. And so how about you?
I have a 12-year-old, just turned 12 last week, and then we have an 8-year-old that'll be 9 in October.
You know, James and I, we were talking about Blaze, and he was asking me how old he was, and I said, he's 12. He said, nah. I said, yeah, he's 12. And he didn't realize it had been that long, you know, yes, that he should be 12. And then we start talking about how, oh, you're going to have a teenager in the house.
I know it. I declare it is going to be fantastic.
It will be not like what everybody else says it's going to be like.
No way.
Oh, goodness. Just reminds me of a message that I was listening to the other day. And I don't even know how, but he was talking about different stages of life.
Yes.
And he used motherhood as an example. And he said, okay, think about motherhood. You know, you get pregnant, and so you're in that. Because he's saying that in life we go through different seasons, but our purpose is still the same. Our purpose is still being a mother, but there's different seasons of that motherhood.
Yes.
And so, of course, you go through the season of being pregnant and preparing and not really knowing what you're getting into. And then before you know it, bam, you're in the season of trying to take care of this person, this baby.
Yes.
And then, of course, when he got to, he went through all the seasons of Mother's Day. But when he got to the teenage years, he really was like, look, I will be praying for you. May God be with you. And he said it like several times, and I wish I could remember exactly how he said it, but I thought it was really funny. So anyway, that's what I was thinking at that time when I was listening to that. I thought, oh, those murders are about to get to some teenage years.
To the fun years.
The fun years. And we probably can make it fun, but it's a new season for our kids. They're discovering, you know, they're becoming an adult. They're discovering who they are, and we're trying to let that go and let them be. And
yes. And I think as teenagers, especially when you have boys and you raise two boys, they get to be 15, 16 years old. And the truth is God created them to go into manhood. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of, there can be a power struggle there. And not even per se because they're trying to rebel, but they are trying to move in that direction of manhood or what God created them, you know, to be. Mm-hmm. And that's where as parents, we've got to pray, God, give me wisdom, because I don't want to break the mold of what you have. But Lord, help me to use me to just kind of soften those rough edges, you know.
And I see it also, too, God intended for the men to be leaders.
Yes.
And so there's a time of them stepping, men, boys, mm-hmm. Trying to step into that leadership that God has already put in them. But we have to watch them, especially as mothers.
Yes.
When our boys are going into manhood, how we begin to associate with them, how we communicate
interact.
With them. Yes, interact. I'm trying to think of the word. How we interact with our boys, because
yes.
God does intend for them to, mm-hmm. and we want our boys to be the leader of the home. And not that the woman doesn't, I mean, we all know that the man is the leader, but, you know, the woman really is
yes.
the one behind the scenes. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And so we want our boys to step into that.
Absolutely. You know, I read a book, I don't know, a few years ago, and it was really one of the most transformational books, and it's That's My Son. And then I've read another one, and it's all about sons, raising sons, and just even as little boys, they need respect. That's the way God created them. They need that respect. They need that honor just as much as a woman and a little girl needs love. They need to feel that love from their mom, from their dad. A boy needs that respect and that honor from their mom, and that begins to train them, you know, in moving into adulthood, you know, as they get to be older and stuff. And so it's been really one of the better books. Like I said, I've read two of them, and one of them was written by a man. And that's what he said. He said, so often moms want to coddle their boys. And he said, but the truth is boys are meant to be rough and tough and break something. And that's the way their brain is wired up. And when moms
yes.
coddle too much, we actually hinder that. And I think about you, and I've thought many times, and I've told Aaron, I said, thank God for the Thomases who will let my boys stand up on the mule and do things that I'm like, oh, God. You're going to break your arm. And I thought, no, my boys need that. They've got to have some of those experiences. And I think both of my boys have broke their stinking right arm. And
I think it was with us, wasn't it?
One of them was with
us.
One was on our trampoline. And honestly, when Creed broke his arm last year, that's what I remember the doctor. She said, she shook her head and she said, the truth is, a kid isn't doing it right if they don't have at least one broken bone before they get out of their, you know, their kid years.
Yes.
So I thought, well, at least we're doing something right.
There you, you go. Know? There you go. You know, that is so funny because as mom, if we coddle, if you notice, the mom would do the coddling and the dad would be like, no, they're fine. You let them do that. And if we don't allow the husband to be the dad, then that will also, but there's a relationship, and you said this, training is what basically kind of what you said. I think that might have been the word. But anyway, in relating with the opposite mm-hmm. sex. And so daddies loving their daughters,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving them that love, that unconditional love of loving them for who they are because that's his daughter.
Absolutely.
And then the mom, you know, respecting that young man
yes.
that's in the house.
And it really trains them for what they're looking for when they become adults. When they're looking for their spouse, and that little girl that grows up to be a woman, guess what? She won't want to settle for anything less than, no. My dad treated me with this, and with love and honor and respect and da, da, da. You know what I mean?
Right.
And my mom, this is, you know, for the boy, this is what my mom did. I'll tell you a story I heard a long time ago, and it was this girl, and that I can't remember what day, it was like Friday or Saturday. Every day, every week, her dad took her on a date, and it was just them two. And so here she gets into college. He still takes her on a date. And so she gets through with college, and she was asked, why are you not dating? You know, why have you not had a boyfriend? She says, I've not met a man yet that can meet my expectations of what my dad has put in me. And now she's married and everything's great. she married a man that would meet the expectations of what her dad had put in her, because he had taught her what a man should do and how he should treat her and stuff. And I thought, that is one of the coolest stories, to think that he was just showing his daughter true love. This is what true love looks like. You know what I mean?
And to show her her value.
Yes.
And so many times, I think, as women, when we're not taught that, we think our value is less, and so we settle for less.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm just lucky if I even have a husband, you know, mm-hmm. And that's not the case.
Yeah. That is, honestly, I think of that scripture, Ephesians, I can't remember, but I'm wanting to say it's 5:8 or 5:28, it's something like that, but it talking about God more than enough, you know what I mean? Exceeding our greatest desires,
yes.
Our biggest dreams, and going to outdo them. And honestly, just like you said, when I think about being married, and thank God that the right man chose me, because I think life could have looked a lot different, because really I so desired just to be married, because I thought that would fix all of my problems. Not knowing,
yes.
You're about to add no, a whole other person's problems to your own.
It's kind of like where people think a baby,
yes.
Is going to fix their problems. Oh, no.
But it's just going to add to it.
Yeah.
And praise God, His grace is sufficient in the midst of all of
that's
that.
That's right.
But I think the truth is in parenting, we desire for our kids to do so much more and better and greater than we ever did. As a matter of fact, I've heard it said like this: we want our kids to stand on our shoulders so that they can reach higher.
Mm.
Our ceiling is their floor.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And
I think every parent,
yes,
almost every parent wants their child to have better than what they had.
Absolutely. And so I think the way we are raising our kids, and honestly, and you've heard me, you know me well enough to know I deal with mom guilt. It is a real deal,
man,
that
I
didn't even know existed, because I remember talking to you pre-kids and I'm like,
You don't know until you get there.
You don't know the love you can have for another individual. And so it's just interesting to me. Because then my biggest prayer in 12 years that I've had Blaze and now Creed is, God, Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient in my failure and my flaws and my struggles and the places I miss it with my children, with my husband, with being a woman, being a friend, with being a in ministry. Your grace is sufficient to make up the difference of where I miss it, Lord.
Thank you.
And I believe He is. I believe with my boys, He is making up the difference of the things that Aaron and I are missing, you know.
Most definitely, most definitely. When you were telling me about that mom guilt, gosh, girl, I can remember in the beginning, I just thought I was messing my kids up. Like, I'd lose sleep at night, like, oh, gosh, you know.
Yes.
Why did I say this? Why did I do that? And then but the enemy, it's the enemy that tries to come in,
mm-hmm.
and thwart what God intended for something to be good.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, I'm so with you. And I've only had them 12 years, you know what I mean? But you are not lying. I think about, I don't know how many times I've even woken one of my children up in the middle of the night, but like it's 9:00 at night, you know what I mean? Woke them up just to apologize for something that I've had a moment to kind of just decompress, and now I can see things and just under conviction, and I need to get it right with them. And one of my biggest things that Blaze, especially Creed, don't ever say this, but Blaze, you'll say, Blaze, I'm sorry, and he's, oh, it's okay. And I've done this since he was little. No, it is not okay. You know what I mean? If somebody's having to apologize to you, it's because they're under conviction, they've done something wrong, and you need to tell them you forgive them. But their actions was not okay. You know what I mean? And so, because I want him to not just kind of take whatever I've done, whether it was yell at him, whatever it was, I don't want him to just kind of throw that to the side. No. This was not okay, which is, once again, it's kind of a training ground for when we get married, because they need that respect.
Oh, gosh, they do. And it's on both ends.
It
I mean,
is.
That's where, you know, when the dad is treating, or, you know, dealing with the daughter the way he is, you know, what is, and we said this already, but what is he showing her that it's okay to put up with?
That's right.
And when we don't have that, then we tend to not know those boundaries, mm-hmm. As women, but also as, you know, as dads or as men, because we've not been taught, because what we have been taught is what's normal really is not.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
God's standards. That is what we should be reaching for. And so, and we're never going to meet God's standards, of course. We're not going to meet up to our own standards, much less God.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, that's where his grace is sufficient. And but we give it our best, you know what I mean? And do what we believe God is directing and guiding us, you know?
That's right. And where we're, and like you said earlier, you had already said this, where we're lacking, God comes in and he makes up the difference.
Amen.
And he has made children so resilient. And that's one thing I have realized. Because, you know, especially now that my kids are in their 30s, and I look back and I look at some of the things of being a mom that, you know, oh gosh, you know, I really mess up on that. Or, you know, just looking back. And I know that we can't go back and change things. But, and so when I am reminded by those things, I will bring it up to my kids. And I'm like, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. I said, well, you never felt da 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 da. And no, I don't, I mean, no.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, that's the grace of God.
That's what I was going to say. I think that is God's grace in action is what you got to
mm-hmm.
see. And so, and that's what I love is the truth is kids, I'm not talking about bad parenting. You know what I mean? I'm talking about people that really love their kids and love God. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
we're all going to make mistakes, of course.
We all are.
But I really, in my heart, believe when our heart is toward God, our heart is toward our family and our children, what happens is though we make these mistakes, the truth is our kids remember those good things, those good moments. I think about the Thomases because y'all do it with my boys and y'all play games to decide who's doing dishes. It's those things that we remember. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Heck, I just had to do the dishes because I lost that, you know, whatever.
And, you know, James learned that from his mom.
Yes.
And that was something that, you know, that mm-hmm. he passed down, and he learned that from his mom. And which I laugh because James says, now I know, because she always beat me. She was just, that was her way of getting up to clean the house. And so, but they didn't, you know, it was fun
yes.
for them, and that made it fun. So.
And it was a memory that they'll take with them the rest of their lives.
That's right.
You know, you know Blaze well enough. Blaze is an experienced kid. He's not huge into presents. I mean, he'll be grateful, but he loves experiences. And that's what Aaron has told me for years, and it's just taken me long enough to finally be like, he likes experiences, you know what I mean? But, and I really love that about him, and Creed is kind of moving that direction even, but I love that because guess what? It's memories, and that's what Aaron would keep telling me. He said, Tanya, kids don't remember what you got them, but they remember the things they got to do and the experiences and the memories. That's
yes.
what they remember. And memories being, it don't have to be fancy anything. It can be simply a picnic in the backyard with the water
yes.
hose and, you know what I mean? It don't have to be fancy, but they remember those things.
Yes. Yes, that is so true. And it's not about, like you said, it's not about how much money you're spending on that experience
mm-hmm.
or, you know, those things. There's just things you can do. I have I know a lady that, when her grandkids come over, they have a special place in her garage, and they will do different things, Play-Doh or whatever. And she basically lets them get messy and just do whatever they
mm-hmm.
want to do. And you know those kids are loving that.
Yes.
That is that special time where they get to go over and they can do all those things.
I love that.
And,
love that.
Yeah. So,
you know, so speaking of that, because you know me, I'm going to tell you a real mom guilt, especially when my kids were younger. And now that they're older, I'm like, it is just what it is. But I had a friend that had this little area in her living room that had a desk, and it had glue, and it had scissors, and it had all kinds of things to just be crafty, you know. And both of her kids would get in there, and there would be a mess, and she would just let them be. And then at the end of the day, they'd clean it up, and it was in the living room of all places that when people come through the front door, guess what? They're going to see it. And I never, ever, ever could do that. And matter of fact, not only could I not do that, but like crayons was very supervised because I did not want it all over my walls. And so I really would battle that because I don't like the mess that comes mm-hmm. with it. Guess what? My boys are more than okay. And the truth is Blaze, my oldest one, has never liked to color. He has never liked crafty things. Creed, on the other hand, he regularly draws me pictures. And so I have bought picture frames to put up in my back living room so that I can display his artwork. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because he loves that. And now he's 8 years old, and I'm okay with it. You know what I mean?
That's
and
right.
He'll go and get scissors or whatever, and I'm like, it just is. It's okay. They might not have done it when they were 2 and 3 and 4 years old, but it's okay. And my boys are completely fine.
That's right. And you know one thing, since we're going to do confession time here as moms, one thing I used to be, as a whole, is my house being messy. And so I would always be about keeping the house clean, which is good. I mean,
yes.
But I realized looking back, just let them be, mm-hmm. you know, let the kids come over, let them have fun. When it's all said and done at the end of the day, we'll clean up the mess and it'll be okay. But I always felt like my house had to be clean all the time.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes probably put pressure on my kids. And now I laugh because, when the kids would say, all right, we're going to clean house, and I'd play music and we'd have it blaring and we'd clean house, and they'd be like, well, who's coming over?
Trained them into.
And I was like, nobody's coming over. We're just going to clean the house.
Time to clean.
Yeah, it's time to clean. But it's really funny. But I just love that now my age, now that I'm older, you know, that's okay.
That's okay.
It's all right. And I would be, just could not take it if anybody showed up to my house and something was out of place. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put that pressure on myself anymore. I'm just going to, I'm living my life. I'm not a dirty person. And so, anyway.
I think that's funny because you have made comments to me about Sonia. Because you feel like this, that your house has to be perfect and it's always just clean when people come by, it can be not the most inviting place or something like that.
Yes.
And honestly,
because someone had told me that.
Yes.
About my own home.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made me realize. But anyway, go ahead.
I just think, because you're right, that is something I really battle. And I'm much better because of having Creed, the second child. That is not. Now, he's getting better. Like, he'll clean his own room. I mean, he's much better than he was as a little bitty boy that needed to bring all of his toys out to play right in front of me. But the truth is that is still something that I can have moments of distress if you show up to my house and there's some stuff on my counter. Our house isn't very big. And so guess what? My kitchen counter is probably the end-all, be-all, catch-all kind of thing, you
yes.
know, until the end of the night. And then we clean it up and go about our business. And so that can kind of stress me out. But the truth is you know what? It's okay. And I think as my kids are getting older and more kids are just showing up at my house here and there, which I want their friends at our house, it's helping me to be like, it is what it is. I'll tell you, when our dog, we just bred our dog, you know, back in January, and one of Blaze's friends showed up. And, you know, when they go into heat, they kind of have that smell to them, which I did not know. We've always had dogs that are fixed.
Yeah.
And
or
so,
males.
Yes, or males.
Yeah.
And so with this, I remember looking at the little boy that's at my house, and he's 12 now, too. And I said, I'm so sorry. Nova just has a smell and sorry. And that's all I was saying. And he looked at me and he's like, oh, she's just in heat, and moved about his business. And I said, oh, okay. Because I didn't even know until here I am 45 years old. You
yes.
know what I mean? And so, but I think just like that, I was embarrassed that somebody would come and I would feel like they thought our house was dirty or that our dog was dirty or whatever. And it was okay. You know what I mean?
And I think we think that's a reflection of what kind of a mom we are by the way the house looks.
Yes.
Okay, I must not be a very good mom because there's still dishes in the sink. When in reality, you're choosing the child over the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And not to make anybody feel guilty because I'm talking about myself, you know. And that is not a measure of what kind of mom you are by how your house looks or you know, the dishes in the sink or if the laundry's done.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, those things have to be done, but that is not a measurement of whether or not you're a good mom.
You know, I had been taught that the house is always a reflection of the woman and the yard is always the reflection of the man. And so I think that's it, is it's so deep within me. And I just, that's what I have to keep telling myself. And I need friends that say that to me. You know what I mean? And just, it's going to be okay. And we've had to have people come into our house, like we're on the road and we have to have them go in and do whatever. And I'm like, oh God.
You know what I hope mean? I put that yes. up or I don't have that. Yes.
And it's really get over myself kind of thing. You know what
yes.
I mean? Because it's not the end of the world. My boys have been fed. Their homework is done. And we've probably played a game. We're making memories. Guess what? It's okay.
It is okay.
And Aaron, thank God I am married to the man I am married to, because I tend to go into, I'm sorry that, you know, I haven't got these dishes done or whatever. Or I haven't got laundry done for the week, whatever. And he's always like, you can clean the house when the boys move out. You know what I mean? When
yeah.
they're 18. And now that's not his heart, because he cleans and he does all of that. He's a part of it. But he's just not going to put that pressure on me as a mom and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would never walk into my house and think, oh, God, this is filthy. I'm not talking about that. But you know what I mean? Just
the lived-in house.
You live
house.
In it.
That's
yeah.
right.
And so guess what?
Fun,
okay.
Fun and memories have been created in this mm-hmm. home, and you can tell by the way the house looks.
That's right. And I would prefer my boys to have that than my mom put so much pressure that it was kind of like you, it wasn't an inviting house, it was an uncomfortable house. I don't want my kids to feel that way, because I pray my kids, when they're grown and they're married and they have kids of their own, they want to come back to my house. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes. Well, let me give you some encouragement. So, you know, my kids have moved out now, so it's just same home that we raised
yes.
our kids in. So the whole, basically the whole east side of the house basically never gets touched unless somebody comes to visit, and they just stay clean all the time. I don't
yes.
have to even clean that side of the house. So there'll be a time when you'll be like, well,
yes.
I don't really have much to clean. After you've cleaned so much, after your family,
yes.
then when, you know, the new season, talking about the different seasons, you know, that becomes a new season. That
mm-hmm.
is not
yeah.
something that, and that's maybe yeah. that's where a woman probably really gets set free. I don't know, but, you know.
Yes.
From having
you know,
that
when you were saying that, as crazy as this is, I'm like, oh, God, that makes me sad. Because that means that you come to the end of that season. Now, I have heard that whenever they get to be 17, 18, that you're just kind of ready. You're ready for college. You're ready, whatever this next season is,
yes.
you're ready. But at that moment, like when you're telling me, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think I would prefer to embrace the messy, you know. But I really, I have had moments of struggling. That's one of the mom things I've struggled with. When Blaze this year, he turned 12 last week. And we let him stay home one extra year because his birthday's in May. And I didn't want him to graduate at 18 and then turn 18 and 2 weeks later graduate.
Yeah. yeah.
And so we purposely held him back, not because he couldn't have done it, but just we held him back. And it's one of the greatest things, especially right now, because, and that's what I told Aaron last week on his birthday, as tears has come down my eyes, I said, we have 7 more years. When we double this, he's going to be 24 years old. And like, and you just know how quickly that 24 year, or those 12 years went. 12 more years is going to go just as fast.
That's right.
You know.
It is. And the seasons, the new seasons, that it's just, and it's just trying to be the best of who he can be in that season.
Amen. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
All right. So we said we were going to talk about some Mother's Day trivia here. So maybe we should go ahead and get started just to see just exactly how much. I mean, we act like we know what we're talking about, but let's just see if we really do.
Yes.
You know, there's not a handbook for being a mother, and I wish there was. But one thing that I found out is that each child is different.
Each child is different.
One thing works for one child may not necessarily speak to the other child. And so it's just going with the flow and allowing God to
absolutely
show you and speak to you on how you can
mm-hmm.
Relate to your child.
either
to get your point across, or whatever it is.
Absolutely. And I don't know, honestly, if it was you that told me when I was pregnant with Green, our second child. I don't know who told me this, but they said, oh, get ready. They're going to be two different. They'll be completely different. And honestly, in my heart, I'm like, no, they won't. They have the same mom, the same dad, raised in the same home. My boys can be any two different. I mean, they have some things, similarities, but holy smokes, they are two different kids.
You know what I mean? It was me, because I remember you were wanting to walk more with Creed because of some of the things that had happened on your first pregnancy. And so we were meeting up here at the
sweatshop,
and we were walking, and that happened to be one of the conversations that we had. And I almost kind of interlaughed because you don't know really until you've done it.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's one thing that, you know, also got to remember is when you're giving advice to other mothers, sometimes they just gotta walk it through themselves.
I'll tell you, and then we can start this, but because you know Blaze, and you know Creed, and Blaze very much so, he is our child that needs accolades. And he will go miles for you if he knows that you're proud. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Creed, on the other hand, care less. Be proud of him. Don't be proud. It's okay.
I'm going to be who I am and take it or leave it.
Yes. And I love that about both of them. You know what I mean? Because they're both just unique to who they are. And I have to be real careful because it can be easy for me to want to compare. And you can't compare.
Right.
You can't. They're two different individuals. That's what I love about God, is the millions of people that have lived on the face of the earth throughout all time are different. They have different. There's no two that have had the same fingerprints. There's no two of us that have the same retina. That's God for you. And just because the same mom, dad, guess what? He don't need to make a replica. And I think you can say that when you talk about your two twin boys, identical twins, and they're still two different individuals.
Two different individuals. That's so right.
Anyhow.
That's right. Oh, no, we can just talk about whatever we have on our heart. We don't have to go. I just think that some of this trivia is kind of fun. You know, here's one question. It says, what is the most popular gift to give on Mother's Day? And this is not what I would have answered. What do you think would be the most popular gift?
Well, I don't know that this would be considered a gift, but I know cards is one of the highest selling things.
You got the answer.
Was that right?
That was right. Greeting cards. I was thinking flowers.
I could see that too.
Yeah, but no, greeting cards. Greeting cards is going to be the most popular gift to give on Mother's Day, and I think mothers probably love that. Really, I mean,
I would think so. And honestly, I have not always been the most sentimental, but I find everything my boys have made me or whatever, I keep. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like cards that they've written, handwritten notes.
They're so special.
They're special.
Yes.
And I think I will always do that, you know.
Yes.
And honestly, I'll tell you something I do. I have a file that every year, so like pre-K, first grade, da-da-da.
Oh, yeah.
And I put some of their favorite papers down in there. And now this year I have started putting like some little notes that they've written to me or whatever, and I've put them down in there so that one day they may not want to see it, I don't know, but they or their wives or their kids may think, oh man, that's kind of cool, you know. So I put it down in that pile that one day they'll get to have. And so,
yeah, I think that's good. I actually have a tote in my closet. I used to keep everything.
Oh, yes.
And so then, you know, through the years you cannot keep everything.
Yes.
And so I started having to be choosy about what I kept. And I'm not much of a hoarder, but it seemed like I was at that time as far as when it comes to their schoolwork. Anyway, and so I was just thinking, because, you know, now my children are about to come into a new season. You know, one's married, the other one will be getting married soon. And, you know, I've been thinking about how I want to get that down and just see what are the, because I haven't seen it in years. I'm like, that'd be kind of neat to just see what I've saved. And I even saved their baby blankets, some of their baby blankets that were special to me at that time. And so that is pretty neat. And I would think that they would like that, but
I've done the same thing. I've got special blankets that both boys used that I loved, or they came from special people to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have even clothes, like, that were special clothes to us. Not special, because, I mean, clothes is clothes, but, like, both boys wore, and I just loved them in it, and so I've kept them. My grandkids might not ever, you know what I mean? They'll probably be way outdated. But I just think it's kind of cool to see. Look, you were so little, you know.
I know. Yeah. When Presley was a baby, I had a lady in our church crochet a christening dress for her.
Yes.
It was a little tight on her, but she wore it on the day that she was christened. At that time, we were going to the Methodist church, and so I dedicated her, you know, as a practice. And she wore that. It was a white crochet dress with booties that match and everything. And it really was pretty. And so that is one thing that I've kept. She's only wore it one time, but that is one thing that I have kept.
That's special.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love that. Okay, well, here's one. Where did the American custom of Mother's Day begin? Georgia, Florida, Ohio, West Virginia?
You know, originally I was going to say Georgia. But I think I know the answer to that, so I might cheat a little bit. And it was West Virginia, wasn't it?
It's West Virginia. Crafton, West Virginia is where it began.
Where they had the first Mother's Day.
Which serves as the International Mother's Day Shrine today, it says.
Well, they have a shrine. Well, I thought this was an interesting fact. It says, why is it that the word for mom starts with a M-A or ma sound in almost every language? So if you think about it, in every language, when you hear the word mother or ma, why is the ma sound in every language?
Ooh, I don't know.
And this is a really neat thing, but it says it's the first sound a baby makes.
Wow.
You know?
Yes. That is pretty cool. I wouldn't have never thought of that.
Me either. So I just kind of wonder, you know, makes me want to just kind of search that out. Where did that really start from? But I guess maybe at the very beginning they would be mama. It makes me think about James and I. We've been going through this Chosen again, and Jesus is talking to his mom. And I forget how he says her name. But anyway, every time he says that, you know what he's saying. He's talking about his mom, and there's that in there. But anyway.
Yes, I know the name you're talking about. I just can't think of it either.
Yeah, I can't either. It's right there, but it's not coming out. But anyway, babies make that first noise.
Mom. I love that. That is good. Yeah. And
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. See that. What about this one? What flower is associated with Mother's Day? Is it the tulip, the carnations, roses, lilies?
See, I know it would be roses because, you know, that's mostly Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought lilies or, what was the first one you said?
Tulips.
Lilies or tulips. Because those are about
spring, kind of springy. Yeah. It is actually a carnation. Everyone knows that giving flowers on Mother's Day is a time-honored tradition. But did you know that carnations are the official Mother's Day flower?
Did not know that. Didn't even know there was such a thing.
Me neither.
All right, y'all go out and buy your mother, if you haven't already, some carnations.
Oh.
I would receive them.
Mm-hmm, I would too. I haven't ever received them. I've never had flowers on Mother's Day.
You have?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have.
And I shouldn't say I've never. Maybe I haven't remembered, but anyhow, carnations, though, is the official Mother's Day flower, so now you know.
All right.
Men.
Carnations.
Children, or kids, go get your mom some carnations.
This reminds me of a funny story. So, when James was little, James, I may not be saying it correctly, but I'm going by how he told me. So, when on Mother's Day, he wanted to go get his mom flowers, and you know, during this time, it's close to Memorial Day.
Yes.
And so he went to Walmart to pick out some flowers for his mom, and he ended up picking out, I want to say a wreath or something, but it was for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And that's what, he just thought they were pretty, and then he ended up giving that to his mom. And his mom, you know, was thank you, and she even, she told him, you know, these are for people that have died. But I just think that's funny, you know, that's kind of cute, because, you know, and that's
his heart was right.
His heart was right, but... He found some flowers that he thought were really pretty that were for memorials.
I love that. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
All right, it says Mother's Day marks the most what on any given day of the year? And so this is going to be tricky to answer, but basically Mother's Day marks the most phone calls on any given day of the year.
Ew, I can see that. I can see that.
Call your mother.
Call your mother. She wants to hear from you.
She wants to hear your voice. No matter how old you are, do not text Happy Mother's Day. You call her and tell her Happy Mother's Day and that you love her. And I promise you there'll never be a time when a mom won't take the time to talk to their child.
That's exactly right. Take the moment. Even if you're married with your own kids, take a moment and call your mom.
That's right. Call your mom. If you're off to college, call your mom a little bit more. She's really trying to go through this new season of life where you've left the home. Yes. Call your mom.
Call her. That's right.
That's right. Call her. That's right.
Here is a good one. Listen to this. Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for florists, restaurants, airports, churches. Florists, restaurants, airports, churches.
Well, I would think churches.
It is restaurants.
Because
that's the way the mom
does. Mom does all the cooking.
So the dad gets to cook that one day.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's true, too. And that's probably why you hear about all the lines, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it says it's the most popular day of the year to eat in a restaurant. And so, wow. Huh. 51% of mothers said they prefer to eat out on the holiday because they do most of the cooking at home, and dining out gives them a much-needed break.
That, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
I second that.
Yes.
So, if you didn't take your mother out for Mother's Day today, take her tomorrow.
Take her tomorrow.
Take her anytime.
Hey, and if you live off from your mom, send her a gift card to her favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
And then say, FaceTime me while you're there.
So yeah. Hey. Yes, that's right. That's right. So she can take a break from having to cook.
Amen.
Here is a really interesting question here. But what day of the week are the most babies born?
Ooh.
Now, I mean, you wouldn't think it would be...
I wouldn't think there would be a specific day.
Yeah, but according to this trivia, there is.
Let's see. Well, I had a boy on a Monday and a Wednesday, so let's go with Monday.
Nope, it says Tuesday.
Right between my 2 days?
Yeah, right between your 2 days. You know what? I can't even tell you what days my... I can tell you the date, obviously, but I couldn't tell you what day it was of the week.
Yes.
But yeah, Tuesdays.
Wow, that is interesting that they would... That is just interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
What is the average age for first-time moms in the United States?
So average. So it's probably... you know, because in some cultures, they wait till older. In some areas, mm-hmm. they're younger. So it's going to be somewhere, I would think, in the mid-20s.
That's pretty good. The average age of first-time mothers has risen drastically since 1972, when it was 21 was the average age. Now, first-time mothers is 27 years old.
27.
So you are right there, close to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it does seem like mothers became mothers sooner. I mean, mm-hmm. I know I was a young mother, but yeah.
It does. It seems like they're kind of waiting a little longer now. Mm-hmm. Enjoying first-time marriage for a little bit.
And then, yeah, or just kind of living mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah,
before they...
We were 30s. We surpassed
us. I'm telling you what. Okay, so here's a good one. Aside from cards and flowers, what's another popular gift that you would give on Mother's Day?
Maybe jewelry?
Hey, ding, ding, ding.
Is that it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it like mother's rings and stuff?
Yeah. And it also says in parentheses here, services like the spa and beauty salons get another boost. But
bam, bam, bam for me.
Yeah.
Give me a good massage.
Yep. Cards, flowers, and jewelry. I guess that's the most popular thing of what people get for Mother's Day.
Wow. So that's a pretty good one.
That is good.
What percentage of moms in the U.S. are single parents?
Oh, gosh. I would think now the number would be pretty high, unfortunately, just because of the way things are right now. I would say 30 or 40%.
It is 24%.
Really?
So it's not as high as I would have thought, honestly.
I know, me too. Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. That is good. I didn't give you, sorry, I could have given you 34, 24, 4, or 14.
No, that's all right. I don't need to, I can just,
yes.
You know. Okay, so, okay, here's an interesting fact. You know, I've had twins, so I've had two at one time.
Yes.
It says, what's the highest number of babies that have been born at one time?
I feel, I want to say 6, but is it 8?
Actually, it is 9.
9 babies.
9 babies.
Holy smokes.
Jesus, take the wheel.
I don't know how you did it with 2, because 1 was, I was big enough. I was big enough for 2.
Talk about calling the whole family in and taking shifts on this feeding schedule.
Every grandparent gets to move in.
That's
right. You got this baby. You got this
You're in charge of this one and
yes.
This. Shoot.
Can you imagine? I just had 9 puppies. 9 puppies. 9 babies would be, woo, Jesus. I'll take 9 puppies.
I'm praying for that soul that had to go through that.
Ooh,
ooh, Jesus. Yes. Okay.
Okay, ready? How do children in Serbia celebrate Mother's Day? Washing mother's feet, dressing like mother, tying mother up, making puppets of mother.
What was the first one you said?
Washing mother's feet.
I'd say washing mother's feet.
Oh, no. No, this one kind of shocks me. Children creep into their mother's bedrooms first thing in the morning and tie her up. In order to be released, it is customary for mothers to bribe their children with treats. However, it should be noted that mothers aren't the only ones tied up on their special day. A week earlier, on Children's Day, children are tied up and must agree to behave before they are released.
Oh, so it's kind of a
fun thing.
Yeah, just a fun thing. That's kind of cool.
That is.
So, you know, we talked about what is the most popular day of the week to have a baby, but what is the day of the week that has the least amount of births on?
The least amount?
The least amount.
Well, I'm going to go with Wednesday.
Close. Sunday.
Sunday. Wow.
Day of rest.
Day of rest.
Maybe there's something to it.
That's interesting, huh? And Wow.
So, there you go.
Okay, ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
What year was the first Mother's Day celebrated in the United States? 1907, 1947, 1967, 1927.
The earliest one.
1907?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it
Did
is
I get it right?
1907. It is. Way to go. After Anne's death in 1905, her daughter took up the fight, and the first American Mother's Day was celebrated in 1907 at Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church.
There you go.
There you go.
Honoring our mothers.
I love it.
Because, to be honest, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our mothers.
That's exactly right. Good moms, bad moms, we would not be here. That's what I have always said. Because, you know, the Bible talks about honoring our parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can be hard because sometimes we can have parents and they're not Christians. They're just not great, right? But the truth is we can honor the position they hold in our lives. And the truth is they chose to give birth to us.
That's right.
So
that's
yes.
Good. That's right. And, you know, I think Aaron had said this in one of his messages. But who is the one that they always want to call home and talk to? And we talked about the most phone calls on Mother's Day. But it's mom.
It's mom.
Call mom.
That's right. Yes. And moms, really, when I think about, or at least for me, I can speak for myself. Moms really probably are the ones that celebrate their kids more than anybody else. Because I know me. I want to tell you about all of the things my children have done. And I'm excited for them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so why would you not want to call your mom? Because she wants to celebrate you.
I know. Right? That's right. She thinks we're the greatest thing on
absolute
earth. I mean, we do no wrong.
That's exactly right. So you need your mom.
I know it. She's in your corner no matter what.
No matter what.
You know, it makes me think about somebody who told me that, well, my mom, she's the kind of one that if I get in trouble, she'd be like, no, my son didn't do it, but I'm going to go help him beat up whoever it was they say. Something like that. But basically that mom's like, not my boy.
Not my boy. That's funny.
Well, let's see. Okay. Which president signed the holiday of Mother's Day into law?
Well,
that's it.
Let's try Woodrow. Woodrow Wilson.
Yes, you cheated, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Because my next question was, is which U.S. president made Mother's Day a national holiday? So it's worded a little differently, but it's the same question.
Yeah, so what did they say about Woodrow?
It says, let's see, it says, in 1908, the U.S. Congress rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking that they would also have to proclaim a Mother-in-Law's Day.
Oh, gosh.
But just 6 years later, in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating that Mother's Day be held on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers.
That's right.
That's pretty cool. Way to go, Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, way to go, Woodrow. I mean, we're about to run out of time, but there's one question I saw that it says that they wanted to, and I think it's, it might be in your group, but it was talking about how, why did they want to do away with Mother's Day? And it was because it was becoming too commercialized.
Oh, is it why did the founder of Mother's Day later boycott the holiday?
Yes, that's the one.
It was too commercialized to protest another war. She didn't have children or women couldn't vote.
And I would have thought women couldn't vote, but it's not. That's not it.
Commercialization of the holiday. Real quick, because I know we're running out of time, but I thought these two questions, okay, as I was looking for that one for you, I thought this is really good because you're about to have your first grandchild that is due at the end of this month, so could be born anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to this. It says, how many diapers does the average mom change during the first 3 months of motherhood?
Okay.
Is it?
I'm going to need some options.
300, 900, 700, 500, and you can't think of twins.
Woo! 500 maybe?
700
diapers.
Because they do 8 to 10 diapers per day.
Holy 700. Mother. Now, how many comes in a case? 48.
48.
Is it 48? Like if you go
it's
to Sam's,
time.
If you go to Sam's and get, or $40 mm-hmm. for 20 or 48 diapers. Woo!
That's a few diapers right there.
That's right.
Holy smokes. So listen to this one. Listen to this, because this is another good one. On average, how many hours of sleep does a new mother get each night? 5 to 6 hours, 3 to 4, 2 or less hours, 7 to 8.
I would guess 3 to 4.
That's exactly what would have been my guess. But according to a recent study, 43% of mothers get 5 to 6 hours of sleep each night, while 24% of mothers get just 3 to 4 hours, and 14% of lucky moms manage 7 to 8%.
So what you're saying is we need to try to sleep, you new moms. You better sleep whenever you can.
You better sleep.
If it's during the day, sleep.
Yes.
If it's at night, you sleep. You sleep when the baby sleeps.
Sleep when the baby sleeps. And don't be prideful like me. If you're a new mom, I thought I could do it with my oldest one, and I did not accept any help. And then on the second one, I had a friend that she had made up her mind she was coming, and she came to the hospital the day that we were released. And I said, no, I don't need you, because that's kind of who I am. And she
Miss Independent.
Insisted. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you, it made all the difference in the world. And so she would get up at night, and then she'd wake me up when it was time to nurse him. But just having those couple of days to reset everything for me made a huge difference. So sleep when you can, and if somebody offers to come and help,
say yes.
Let them. Yes, say yes, 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 because you need it. I promise you.
You know what? And so as we are honoring our mothers today, tonight, you don't have to be everything.
No.
And that's okay. It's okay to have help. It's okay to have someone come in every once in a while. And I know that this is something that you and Aaron might have done. It's okay to let somebody watch your child. It's okay to
have a day to yourself and don't beat yourself up for that.
Yes.
It's all okay. It's going to be for your mental well-being.
And you need it. The truth is that for your marriage, you need that time together without your children. And it's okay.
That's right. And, you know, so in closing here, I'm thinking about our mothers. And we've had some mothers that are probably no longer living. But then I also think about on the other side, you know, or I think about those that during this time it might be painful because maybe you've lost a child or and this is a reminder of that. And so we just want to tell you that we just want to encourage you, just want to love on you a little bit and celebrate, be able mm-hmm. to celebrate the life that they had and knowing that, you know,
yes.
that child was born and was here and that God would give them peace and a comfort through this time, because I know that's hard and we miss our mothers because mm-hmm. you know, when our mothers aren't here with us, we miss our mothers. And so I just think about those and we just want to just, you know, give you some encouragement.
Amen. And even the loss of a child, I can't fathom it. But even when I think of infertility, because that's why we were married 13 years before Blaze showed up as infertility. And I remember how hard that was. And I can't imagine then wanting a child and miscarrying. And so for all of you, once again, I pray that the love of God just wraps his arms around you. And you walk away today feeling strengthened and loved by your Father God.
That's right. And so we've got a couple of minutes left here. Would you be willing to pray for our moms in whatever situation that they're in? But would you pray for all of our mothers on Mother's Day?
Amen.
That might be listening.
Amen. God, I thank you. I thank you for the moms that you have placed in our lives. I thank you, God, because they have sacrificed for us. They have loved us. They have been our biggest cheerleaders, God. So thank you, God, for putting that specialness in moms to nurture us and to love us. And God, I pray for each mom out there that, Father, that they walk away today feeling celebrated, feeling loved, feeling accepted, and feeling joy in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those that today isn't a day of celebration. It's a day that is hard and it's difficult and it comes with struggles. Father, I'm asking you, meet those women. Meet every one of those women exactly where they're at. Father, do what only you can do in the hearts of these women, Lord. And I'm asking you to surround them with your love. Father, let them feel your love, that they walk out of today stronger and better than any other Mother's Day in the name of Jesus. And Father, let it be that after this Mother's Day, that they can look forward to the next Mother's Day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, yeah, we want to be able to just celebrate.
Amen.
Celebrate mothers and celebrate our, you know, those times. But you know, that really, I'm glad you brought that up about infertility or, you know, really struggling to get pregnant, and you want to get pregnant.
Mm.
And that actually was something that I feel like maybe, you know, we it was in October where we celebrate the gift of life, or is it? But someone had said that they chose during that time to minister to those who couldn't get pregnant and just pray over them and to bless them. And I thought, how neat was that? And so you want to be a mother, but you're not.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about a lady that came to church here. She passed away a few years ago, and she was pregnant with twins, and she miscarried her twins. And if I remember right, then she had to go into an emergency hysterectomy. And it was a hard day. Love on them women. Love them women that want to be moms. And they just have not been able on this side of heaven to have a baby to hold.
That's right. Just love those women. And so we're going to go ahead and bring the show to an end and sign off. And we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you were blessed. Mothers, we hope you were blessed by this show. We love you. We thank you, moms, for everything that you've done for us. And even the mother-in-laws. You know, that was in one of the questions. And we thank you for our mother-in-laws, because mother-in-laws are good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to sign off and say good night, everybody. We pray you have a blessed week this week. And we'll be back next Sunday.
Yes, ma'am.